episode 599, Conversations Christians Won't Have, and other feedback.
I'll have any conversation, so I'm not sure I'm convinced by this title.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Bendy Bono. We are back, everyone.
We're back with feedback, and we're going to dive straight in and explain this. Brandon wrote into us after our Ancient Human Astronauts episode, and the subject is just theology and personal faith. And here's what he says. Hey, Matt and Ben, I just listened to the Ancient Human Astronauts episode, and I loved it. I think it's safe to assume most Christians won't even have a conversation like this, and it was great to hear you guys discuss the question. Then he presents one of the questions we brought up. If we had definitive proof of aliens tomorrow, how would that affect Christianity? He basically went on to say, I think he's trying to say, people aren't really asking these questions, but it helped him know more about his personal faith. He says, I enjoyed every minute of the discussion. It made me ponder how such evidence would influence my own beliefs. Overall, it was a fantastic episode, and I hope there will be another sequel in the future. Best wishes, Brandon.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath on a sequel. We've done Ancient Alien Astronauts and Ancient Human Astronauts.
Don't we do? Yeah, I guess there's nothing.
Ancient Squirrel Astronauts. Yeah. Maybe we could do Ancient Alien Astronauts with more than 5 minutes of research. We could do a remake or a soft reboot.
Oh, yes.
Will J.J. Abrams it. But you're welcome, Brandon. And I agree most Christians don't have those conversations. That's why this is the only Christian podcast you need.
Exactly.
In fact, this is the only podcast you need.
I actually listen to quite a few podcasts, as do you.
No, I really don't. What other podcast do I listen to?
Joe Rogan podcast you like?
Sometimes. But
like
I listen to it on YouTube.
Oh, you like hardcore history?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I know you're a big fan of The Life Report.
Yeah, every episode. They're gone forever.
I know. We cannot find them. Listeners, if you, for some reason, have episodes of The Life Report on your computer saved from 2010 or 2011, let us know. All right. Speaking of the old days, we did recently have a time loop episode in which you and I named our top five.
Can we put a moratorium on feedback from time loop episodes? Because I don't understand any of it. Because years ago.
I know, but this is interesting. This is not about what we said. It's just about you and your personality.
Okay.
Kelly wrote in and said, Ben, what happened? You were so positive. Is this the real Ben? And the Ben we hear now is a character to play, or is the Ben now we hear a character to play off the more positive Matt for balance? Matt sounds about the same. Good episode.
No, this is the real me.
So episode 5, when we did top 5 sci-fi messiahs, was that a fake Ben or was it just...
Well, it's like when you're first meeting people, you put your best foot forward, then eventually you just get the raw package, and we're in the raw package.
Yeah,
now.
We're well beyond that. Caleb actually just wrote in yesterday about that top five
no
episode.
No more feedback on the... I don't remember the time loop episode. People ask us, why didn't you choose this? I don't know. I don't remember what I chose.
So all I'm going to say about this is that he proposed that we he said we should have discussed Kevin Flynn from Tron as a messiah figure, but you and I were talking about how have you ever seen that movie?
No.
I saw it in childhood and haven't seen it since. I like Tron Legacy, but I never went back and watched the original since childhood, like I said. So,
yeah, I don't see myself going back to Tron. Sorry, Caleb.
I could go back and see it, but I don't necessarily think I would have listed him necessarily. Maybe would have if I had checked it out. And he had asked if we would do a commentary on Tron. I don't think that's going to happen, but we do have a commentary coming up on Metropolis eventually.
Yes. Well, I have my the 90th anniversary Blu-rays on its way to me.
Wow.
From
okay.
the UK. They only made 2,000 copies of it.
Perfect.
And I own one.
We did get some feedback about your joke about the Silence of the Lambs with kids.
It's all good feedback.
It is. Brandon said, I just wanted to say that I found Ben's Silence of the Lambs with kids joke to be absolutely hilarious, and I'm glad Matt did not edit that out.
I'm glad you didn't, too. You made the right choice.
It was a close one, but I did. John Wilkerson sent us a voicemail about that. Unfortunately, voicemail's not working today, John, so maybe we'll hear that on a future feedback episode. Did you see Galen's email about Martha, the Martha controversy?
Oh, yeah, he liked it. Yeah.
But he actually gave a pretty good reason.
No, he didn't.
I'm going to read this.
No, he didn't.
Let's discuss this. So he's defending the Martha twist in Batman v Superman. He says, call me crazy, and I'm sure you will, but I like the Martha thing. I think that it's an excellent cinematic depiction of post-traumatic stress disorder. that it connects Bruce emotionally back to his parents' death, but with twists now that he realizes that he is becoming Joe Chill. He has become the villain, what he most hated. And honestly, it makes sense. If anything could snap Bruce out of that murderous rage, it would be the mention of one of the people who are still the most important people to his psyche. And Clark knew who Batman was. So then I'm going to stop here. He goes on to say that Clark might have been purposely doing it. I don't actually think
that. None of that's in the movie. This is the problem, is that this is fan fiction.
No, he's...
No, this is not interpretation. This is fan fiction. None of that's in the movie.
He's looking deeper into it.
No, he's not. He's making things up.
He's speculating.
No, this isn't speculation. Like, this was Superman's plan. Well, then that needed to be in the movie.
I get what you're saying,
even
Ben.
Even find me a deleted scene. Find me one reference. I'll even take behind-the-scenes footage. Find me anything. Anything in the movie that supports that
interpretation.
Here's
what I want to say. Ben, I see what you're saying, but Galen, I also think it's a good potential analysis of this situation.
It would have been a better way to write that scene, but it doesn't make it a good scene. It's like, oh, you know what was really going on in Lord of the Rings was that Frodo had a drug addiction. He was really battling that hobbit marijuana. I was like, you can say that. There's nothing in the movie to support it. Or like, this is like this whole nonsense that Jar Jar's secretly a Sith Lord and that makes the prequels great. No, it doesn't. It's not true. Or like that nonsense Rings Theory episode, or the Rings Theory essay on the prequels that tries to claim that George Lucas is this secret genius and there's all these secret connections throughout
Rings?
Him. Yeah.
I don't know about this.
You don't. It's not worth your time. But it's like, Galen, in a noble effort. In fact, you should pat yourself on the back because you put more thought into this movie than the people who made it. Okay? And that's good. Like, that makes you a good person, but it doesn't make it a good movie.
So, you know, we hear from listeners saying it's nice to hear you be positive on episode 5. But then when you're positive about something, we still get people saying, why do you like it? So here we go. Melissa wrote in and said, hi, Ben and Matt. My husband and I just watched Creed and really enjoyed it, as well as your review of it. However, I really feel the Rocky series ended solidly with Creed. And while Creed was a good character to pass the torch to, I really don't think there's much more to explore with him that we haven't seen in Rocky. Given that, I'm rather baffled by your excitement to see Creed 2. I mean, we've already seen 6 movies in the series. Shouldn't you be feeling some burnout by now, especially given your burnout on the superhero and Star Wars genres?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't make him not like it, Melissa.
Here's what I think the difference is. I think that Star Wars told a story, and that story is over, and it's time for us all to move on with our lives. I mean that like to everyone. In the most literal way possible. Move on with your life. It's not all about Star Wars.
Okay.
But Rocky is just like, part of the appeal of the franchise is how dumb it got for a while. And that it's so there's a sense of like, I kind of want to see it go off the cliff again in the most spectacular. Like, I want there to be a robot or something in Creed 2. Or I want it to be really good. But it's not necessarily... Rocky didn't tell a story. Well, it did, and then it kept telling the same story. But it's just, I don't know. It's just, it feels like it's just the nature of that series to keep going. And every time they're spinning the roulette wheel to see if we actually wind up in a crap fest or a good sequel. And it'll be fascinating to see which one we hit next. So it just feels like it's the nature of the beast a little bit more. But seriously, move on from Star Wars.
Why, you think people are too into Star Wars?
Yeah, of course they are. You don't.
Well, neither of us are that into Star Wars.
But collectively, the masses need to take a deep breath and stop watching Star Wars.
Stop watching.
Just stop. If we all said no, the world would become a better place.
All right, Melissa went on to talk about Star Wars, actually. She
said,
speaking of Star Wars, I loved your episode about possible spinoffs. It was so funny listening to you rag on how they are just narrowing their galaxy. But at the same time, it was sad to know that you're right. For that reason, I have zero interest in watching any more Star Wars movies that come out.
See, she gets it.
Unless, of course, they get absolutely amazing reviews. And even then, I'd wait for your opinion first, because unlike most of the populace, I thought Rogue One was pretty dumb. On the flip side, I would totally love for you guys to be in charge of spinoffs. Your ideas sound great. I disagree with Ben about Qui-Gon Jinn not having enough character for a spinoff. He's definitely not a by-the-book Jedi, as evidenced by his willingness to take Anakin and train him, even though the boy is too old. The Jedi Apprentice series explores this brashness and some of its ramifications, and is one of the few Star Wars series I still like, even as an adult. Well, those are my thoughts on the recent episodes. Have a good day, Melissa.
No.
You were with her for part of that.
I was with her for most of it. And then she brought up the books to defend Qui-Gon Jinn. No. Qui-Gon Jinn's character is what is on screen in The Phantom Menace, and he has no character. And the idea that his big rebellion was training a 7-year-old, like, that's ridiculous. And not to mention that after all is said and done, the Jedi sanction Anakin to be trained anyway. And can we just take a moment to reflect on how incredibly idiotic the whole he's too old plot point is in the prequels? He's like 6. He's too old? What is going on? Well, the Jedi have to be recruited in utero? I mean, this is just absurd. It's one of the dumbest things in the prequels that's their, like, to try and create tension about why Anakin shouldn't be trained, which is fine. That tension can be there. But the best thing George Lucas can come up with is he's too old. And then we follow this up in the sequel by watching these 5-year-olds swinging around lightsabers with their eyes covered up. Like, just think about that. But you're a parent. No. You're a parent. So you send your child off to the Jedi Temple. They blindfold him and give him a laser stick that can remove limbs and just tell him to flail it around, not in his own personal space, but with other children a foot away. Go watch that scene in Attack of the Clones. It's amazing how dumb it is.
All right, let's do some more feedback. Doug wrote in about our Mandela Effect episode, and you remember that I took the brave step to admit that I do remember the Genie movie starring Sinbad. And guess what? Doug, who's older than us, also remembers it.
That must prove it.
Here is what he says. When you guys start talking about Sinbad and Shazam, I was waiting for you to debunk something from the movie. But no movie? Well, I was surprised, and I was in my 30s in the 1990s. No small child. What's the explanation for that?
I don't know, Doug. You're confused. Doug. But it doesn't exist.
I don't know, Doug.
It never existed. So your memory has lied to you, Doug. Sorry. There is no Mandela effect. It doesn't exist. Stop talking about it.
As we start to wrap up this feedback episode, we had put out the call to some listeners, not to some, to the listeners, about episode 600, and some listeners got back to us. In the meantime, while that was happening, Ben and I made a plan for episode 600.
Yeah, so we're not going to do what you said.
But Patrick just brought up the idea to just do a regular episode. Don't make it a big celebration. But guess what, Patrick? I love celebrating.
We especially love celebrating ourselves.
Yeah, because podcasting can be a lot of work and takes a lot of time. So if there's a chance to celebrate us,
guys don't have to listen, but we're going to talk about ourselves.
Don't we call it the self-celebration jubilee or extravaganza? Yeah. So yeah, watch for episode 600 to be all about us, Patrick.
Bad idea, Patrick.
But Brian had said an idea that I think is good, and this is one that you and I had discussed. We're not going to do this, but it was up for grabs, Brian, even before you sent your email. He said, you could do your first ever top 6 countdown where you each list your favorite Sci-Fi Christian episodes from each block of 100 episodes, which this was the original idea for episode 600.
Right.
So I could see that happening maybe in the new year, something like that, maybe around January. So good idea, Brian. We're going to come back to that idea in the future. But should we announce right now, or should we wait for the next episode to tell them what episode 600
is? Let's do it now. We got to build some excitement.
Tell it, Ben.
Well, it's your idea. It's called the Sci-Fi Christian Canon. So we're going to canonize some sci-fi stuff.
Right. So we are going to look at this is where it's almost easier to just do the episode than explain it. But basically, we want to pick the top movies, books, TV shows in our genre. You know, we do sci-fi, but we do speculative fiction also. So we can do fantasy things. Horror may come up, but you guys get the idea.
Probably
superheroes. So the idea is we're building a sci-fi Christian canon. And as we're talking about with these self-celebration extravaganzas, it's about us. So we always let you guys every year vote on your favorite picks for our top 100 countdowns. But the canon is going to be about Ben and Mai's votes. So,
yes.
And we can spoil right now two of our entries just to set the stage. So for episode 600, what we'll do is take a look at certain movies and discuss some of their merits on if they should be considered canon for the sci-fi Christian canon. Now, I'm not saying these are movies that I love. So, for example, Ben's favorite movie, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Right.
That's not a favorite of mine, but I can recognize...
Someday it will be.
I can recognize its contributions to film, and I can appreciate it for what it is. So, I would likely give that a yes vote, and the vote has to be unanimous between Ben and myself. So, 2001, A Space Odyssey is up. Ben makes his vote. I make my vote. If it's unanimous, it's in the sci-fi Christian canon. Now, tell back the one you said you would give me.
Back to the Future.
Right, but you like that.
I like it. It's not like my favorite movie, yeah, but I recognize its importance. So we're trying to be... Enjoyment does factor in,
right,
but we're trying to be a little more objective than we would with just a regular top five.
Right, so in episode 600, we'll lay out the criteria that we're currently thinking about, and then we're going to build a list on our website. We'll have it on Letterboxd, and it will be a list of... Well, so Letterboxd will be all the movies, but we'll also include any books on that list, any TV shows. So for episode 600, because usually we'll get these recommendations or, yeah, I guess maybe nominations from listeners. You guys can say, hey, how about Blade Runner? How about Tron? And we'll maybe discuss that on a mini episode, or it could change the way we do movie reviews. So we just recently watched Logan. Maybe we make that a sci-fi Christian canon episode. Will this make the list of sci-fi Christian canon books or movies based on our criteria that we look at? But
we both have to have seen it or read it or something.
Right. So, but for episode 600,
Tron,
right, which
you haven't
fly. Seen. So episode 600 is going to be a big one. In fact, next week we're just recording one long episode, and I'm going to, over the next week, create a list. It's going to take some time, of every book, movie, or TV show that has been given the main topic slot in one of our episodes over 600 episodes. So, I mean, there'll be a lot there, but then there'll be a lot of well-known sci-fi movies that didn't make the list. For example, we've never done a movie review on Matrix. So Matrix will not be talked about in episode 600, but we have done a movie review of G.I. Joe Retaliation when you were off the air.
I haven't seen it, though, so that one doesn't even get considered, but I vote no anyway.
Okay. So next week, when you come to episode 600, you're going to be presented with a list of every movie, book, and TV show that this show has discussed as a main topic. Not because if you look at the news, we've talked about tons of things. Yeah. So if a show has been dedicated to that thing, we're going to tell you if it's in the canon next week.
Will the Battle of Five Armies make the canon? Only time will tell.
So some will be able to quickly say no to.
Yes.
And some we might have a little bit of a conversation about.
A bitter fight over the Dark Tower.
But a big thing will probably be at the beginning of episode 600 is we'll lay out our criteria. That way in the future, when we have a canon episode, we can say, if you want to know what this is about, listen to the beginning of episode 600.
Now, in the Catholic Church, when we're busy canonizing people, we have a concept called the Devil's Advocate. The Devil's Advocate presents the best case against the thing being canonized.
Okay.
So maybe we'll have to work that in there as well to make some of them a little more interesting.
So for even something we like, we should present...
Right.
Okay.
So what would be the case against... Like, we'll get to the Dark Tower book series. What would be the case against including the Dark Tower book series?
Yeah, it's going to take us some time. I mean, when I create that list before next week, that's going to take me a lot of time. And then making my
picks. Are you going to send it to me beforehand?
Yeah, I'll send it to you by Friday, I think.
I like it.
So.
Well, yeah, we'll have to figure out when we're recording next week because it's Halloween.
Oh, you're right. So maybe that will give us 2 weeks to prepare this episode.
Could be.
Well, what do you think? Let's do one more piece of feedback and then we'll get out of here.
I like it.
Fred wrote it and said, gentlemen, your episode 585. Uh-oh. Do you know what 585 was?
Oh, I don't know. You usually keep track of that stuff for me.
Yeah, I can tell you that. Let's take a look here. Episode 585, Oh, wow. Okay. 584, I should say. Yeah, you're not going to like this. Uh-oh. It was a time loop episode.
Oh, no.
It reminded me of something.
No more feedback. Okay, and I'm saying, I well, got to talk to the, hang on. Well, I need to have a conversation with the audience.
Let me just say, isn't it telling that they like the time loop that much?
That's fine.
Like, if you think of, we do get feedback for most episodes, but this is multiple pieces for a time loop episode. What? I mean, that means something. We're doing something right.
I'm fine with the time loop episodes existing, but I need to have a conversation with you, the audience. Matt will not filter out your time loop feedback, so I need you to not send them. Just, you guys need to use self-control. If it's a time loop, recognize I have no clue what you're talking about because it was 6 years ago. Don't send feedback for time loop episodes.
I think you'll like this, though. Let me read it and see if you disagree. Gentlemen, your episode 584 reminded me of something I've read from Jeffrey Allen Schechter's book, My Story Can Beat Up Your Story.
Is this the Messiah's one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I told you that. Top five. It's the only time loop we've done this year.
Oh.
Top five sci-fi Messiahs.
That'll be an easy vote.
My Story Can Beat Up Your Story, where he said that in the most satisfying stories, the hero will embody four archetypes in succession: orphan, wanderer, warrior, and finally, martyr. I think martyrdom is the essential messianic quality. In a successful story, the self-sacrifice need not be literal, but the hero must be vulnerable and risk some tragic loss on behalf of others. I find it interesting that Schechter would say that no story is fully satisfying if the hero's victory comes at no cost. Humans are hardwired to prefer heroes who embody both a superhuman strength plus an all-too-human vulnerability to suffering and death. Human psychology was primed for the story of Jesus, the greatest story ever told. Love the show, Fred.
Yeah, that was fine. Yeah. See, that okay, if you must send in time loop episode feedback, do it like that, where I don't have to remember what I said.
Right. You know, it's a great email, and it makes me wonder, are humans primed for the story of Jesus, or is that in us because of Jesus? What do you think?
Both. I think that we are primed for the story of Jesus. I think that you can certainly see that in pre-Christian mythology, that in a sense Jesus is the truest version of all of that. But there are certainly elements of messianic storytelling that exist that predate Christ. So and then, of course, Christ is transformational in the way that the world has thought about those types of things. I think Christ has had a tremendous impact on the human unconscious and the collective, our collective psychology in terms of all that. But it certainly predates Christianity. So if I had to choose one or another, I'd say that humanity is primed for Christ. But I think it's both.
All right, everybody. Well, stay tuned for after the music for an email I found that's probably one of the oldest pieces of feedback I still have in my inbox, only from April of this year.
Oh, my goodness.
But I think you'll like some of the references. So, for now, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
Stay tuned for more feedback after the feedback episode. This is just absurd. I'm Ben.
We're the Sci-Fi Christians. Sign it off.
Goodbye.
So, Robin wrote in April, and I found it in my inbox today. And he said, "Hello, Matt and Ben. Never let it be said that Ben reneges on his agreements. I very much enjoyed his Ben is Wrong song, and he was right. It was emotional." Do you remember why he wrote that?
Yeah, I do. Because I said that we weren't going to meet our fundraising goal.
Yes, and we did.
And I guarantee we won't meet our fundraising goal this year.
Oh, that's a great point. I want to come back to that.
It doesn't exist.
I think the one I sent out a couple years ago, because he also made a Ben is Wrong song a couple years back, was better, and then he laughs a little bit. But Ben's song had the advantage of personal penitence, making it genuine. I have to admit, I was as surprised as he was that you made it to 5,000, and I hope your next campaign is as successful, Robin. So I did want to address that, because another person from our selection committee for the end of the year listener appreciation jubilee wrote in that the lack of follow through is that we didn't do a campaign this year.
That's true.
Well, here's what happened, everybody. I'm just gonna explain it here, and maybe I'll have to do it again
got sick of charity.
That's not true. Basically, what happened is Ben and I switched to an every other week schedule.
Yes.
And so Sci-Fi Christian conversations got more limited at the beginning of the year. Plus, I had the new baby. So I wasn't very focused on tracking down this organization. And we had this idea to potentially do an organization that supports literacy for children. I'm just going to be honest. We never found one. And then at some point, It was June and July. And at that point, you're not having an annual fundraiser anymore.
Right. Who cares at that point?
And so potentially we'll make a return to fundraising in 2018. But because I promised one this year and didn't do it, I hate to promise another one yet. So let's see if we actually find something. So sorry about that. And maybe we'll talk about this again if it wins at this year's end of the year listener appreciation jubilee.
We didn't even collect any water for the kids this year. I think we could have just set a $100 fundraising goal and would have been better than what we did.
That's true.
You guys can still contribute to one day's wages independently.
I think our website is still out there. So if you can find it, just search for one day's wages and the Sci-Fi Christian. So, all right. Well, I guess since we are talking about things that we need from people, soon we're going to have a poll posted online of the nominations for this year's end of the year listener appreciation jubilee. So you can watch that on our website, thesci-fi-christian.com. However, I haven't made it yet. So if you're hearing this and you haven't seen it on the website, it's probably because it's not there yet. I'm just telling you ahead of time, this is about to happen. So get ready.
One of your people wrote to me and asked when they were due. And I said, I don't know.
So I've been saying by Friday.
Okay.
By this Friday. Yeah. I think, and you had an announcement too. What was the other thing? We're also still collecting homeowner's advice for Matt.
Oh, how's it going?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's not going well.
Okay.
We've been searching and searching.
Just buy one.
We are a little bit picky because there's a certain school district we want, and we do have a second choice. So there's two cities that we're looking to move to.
Yeah.
We also have a price limit.
I think at this point, you just got to close your eyes. Just at random, pick a house and go for that.
But as you head into the fall, you can imagine in Minnesota there's less selection because no one wants to move when it's cold and snowy out. It's not snowy yet, but
But you get the elderly couple who died in their home or something, and
that's sad.
they gotta move it.
So on top of the colder weather here in Minnesota, we also have holidays coming up. So just lots of factors working against us. The only good thing is if we do find a home that we like, the price will likely be lower because house prices go down around this time of year. So in my mind, most likely scenario is that we're not moving in until 2018 after all. But I'm still holding out hope.
Time is running out.
I'm still holding out hope that we'll find something
soon.
There's
a 24-acre lot down the street from me that was for sale. You missed out on that one.
I'm sorry. But I would have really liked to have been neighbors with you, so sorry about that.
Yeah, next time.
So, yeah, but I'm still taking homeowners' advice because it will happen eventually.
Yeah, we're not really pushing it at this point.
But there was another thing you're pushing. Oh, your contest.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. So you got to guess. What is it?
It's this year's top 100 sci-fi TV shows.
Guess what the top 10 is going to be. Go to the website, right side, sci-fi countdown link, click that, fill out the poll, and send it in. You guys know the drill.
And that's where this year's end of the year listener appreciation poll will also be. And you can also find homeowner advice for Matt there.
Yeah, I should see if people are still sending that in.
All right.
I haven't checked for homeowner advice for a while.
It's totally understandable since I'm still looking. I mean, it's sad because I was going to close on a house back in September.
That was sad.
And then it fell through.
Yeah, so it's not entirely your fault.
No, I mean, things...
I feel like you should give me your budget, give me your list, I will go buy you a home. Like, I won't pay for it, but I will go select your home for you.
Okay.
And let you know what the address is and when your closing date is. And you're all set.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, everybody, so long, folks.
Yeah, goodbye.
And now, for all those still listening.
Oh, we're still going?
One last piece of feedback.
No.
Do you remember that? Just listen. Do you remember that Star Trek one that we never understood about Kirk, McCoy, and Spock?
Where we asked him to clarify.
Yeah.
It was just
he never clarified, but a different listener wrote into Greg. So, Greg, if you're out there listening.
No, well, this isn't. Why? This isn't feedback to us.
It's so short. It's just so short. And it ties in with Shakespeare, which you like. So, Dave has broke down the characterizations of the Star Trek characters according to Romeo and Juliet. Here we go. The character dynamic in Star Trek are as follows. Kirk is Romeo. McCoy.
What?
McCoy is Mercutio. Am I saying that right? Mercutio.
Yeah.
And Spock is Benvolio. Do you know who Benvolio is?
What is he talking about? What does Star Trek have to do with Romeo and Juliet? Just Both of you, stop. Everybody. No more emails on this subject.
And then apparently the green alien woman is Juliet. But you and
this
I don't,
has gotten more confusing as...
You and I don't actually understand these references.
So Greg sent in two emails that didn't make any sense. And then Tony sent in an answer to Greg that makes even less sense.
Yes.
This is absurd. We're just done.
We'll take more feedback at feedback@thesciFiChristian.com.
Not at this time.
You can also call us at 612-4121-SFC. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
So long, folks.
Goodbye. No more feedback.